time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers' show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Unfortunately, not Charlie Evers today, but we're paying tribute to the man who passed away on Sunday at the age of 85. I got to visit with Charlie Saturday night, and I'm so glad I did. Being around Charlie was always fun. Now, Brenda Donegan, who writes the Just Musing column for the Marion Star every Sunday, is going to be with us at about 10:30. Jeff Ruth stays with us. Glenn Coble is going to join us here momentarily, but there is a little bit of housekeeping we have to do here. Terry Cole, who worked at WMRN for more than a year, released a statement that we want to read. More than, what did I say, a year? I said, oh boy, Jeff, see, thank goodness you're here. Charlie would have never done that. I did that, though. More than a decade, Terry Cole, and here's what he had to say about Charlie. I worked with Charlie for a few years. He was the morning man, and I reported the news. We would go to events together, especially if they were offering to feed us. Charlie really cared for Marion and its residents, in particular the farming community. He loved to have fun. Witness Buckeye Chuck and the Peanut Push. Have fun and raise money. He was one of a kind. They broke the mold. Everybody will miss him. Prayers, Terry Cole. And that's very well said. And, of course, we will miss him here at WWGH Radio. We played this yesterday, but we are going to play it a few times this week. We're going to look back at the life of Charlie Evers.
Charlie Evers was born on September 21st, 1934. He was destined to become one of Marion, Ohio's most famous radio personalities with a career that spanned more than 50 years. Charlie's accomplishments were numerous, such as bike rides across Ohio for the American Cancer Society, creating Ohio's favorite weather forecaster Buckeye Chuck, raising money to rebuild an arena that had burned down at the fairgrounds, which is now known as Evers Arena, and finding Lady Justice, which sits atop the Marion County Courthouse, and returning her after an absence of nearly 30 years. Here is Charlie talking with the man who stole Lady Justice, Richard Carey, in an interview from 2015.
There was some knowledge of it. I don't know if Charlie had knowledge when I talked to you at the elevator that maybe I had it.
That day at the elevator, every Tuesday, farmers gathered for coffee at the Green Camp Cooperative Elevator, and I never will forget, in that course of drinking coffee, somebody said, "Hey, Carey, when are you going to give that statue back to Evers?"
Well, no,
and your face turned red.
No, not that color.
No. Yeah, all right.
No.
Charlie came to WWGH Radio in June 2014 and became one of the main factors in the success of this station. Here is a clip from Charlie's first show, June 11th, 2014.
Well, I'm Charlie Evers, and this is the first time on my program here. I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. I have no guests today. That is reserved for next week, and I'll either have Fred Malone or George Kasotis on next week. And today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions. Of course, I've got a lot of things I can tell you, too. Now, the interesting thing is, on Facebook, when you run across crowds of youngsters or teenagers, they're all, I think we have a call already.
Charlie was very well known for broadcasting from the Marion County Fair. Here is Charlie broadcasting from the fair in 2015.
Now, we have royalty. Oh, my
yes,
goodness.
Yes, we do.
Allen County Fair.
Medina.
Yes, come around.
40th Treasurer of the United States Mary Ellen Withrow gives her thoughts on Charlie's career during an interview in September of 2019.
Did you listen to Charlie on the air?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Charlie is a
legend.
Yeah, legend. Old-timer. That's it. Yeah. Legend. Yeah. Right.
Charlie had a tremendous sense of humor, as on display here from the WWGH Christmas Party broadcast in 2016.
We have Sean Kraft, Santa Claus, and Charlie Evers. We'll be joined by the music of the Lasickney Brothers. How are you doing tonight, Charlie?
Is it Lasickney? What was it?
Oh, here we go. Lasickney. Lasickney. Lasickney.
Okay, well, I'll ask them when they come in.
If you think that'll help, we'll work on it. Santa Claus, you are kind of the man of the hour tonight.
Oh, oh yes.
It's exciting for you to be here.
Boy, he's really talkative. Yeah.
You know what? I didn't realize how hard it is to wear headphones with a Santa hat. It's a horrible thing. Santa, this is your big... Forget it. Give us a nice introduction for your favorite group.
Yes, I think they're such a group that... They deserve to have a magazine story written about them. Now, I call them Lasickney.
Lasickney, right? Lasickney. Yeah, Lasickney. Lasickney.
Lasickney.
Lasickney. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
The Lasickney family.
Yeah. They're great.
Yes, let's hear them. Introduce the audience again to our favorite group.
Yes, that's my favorite group. Let her rip.
Well, who are they?
I never before had trouble pronouncing names. Well, let's just say Lasickney.
Let's say it. The Lasickney family.
Okay, Lasickney. All right.
There were many special moments on air at WWGH Radio, including a phone call from his wife, Jeannie, that his daughter, Amy, had just given birth to his grandchild, Reed, in 2014.
Well, we're coming up near break time right now, and after that, we're going to come back. Would you mind if I answer this phone here? This might be for me. Hello, good morning. Just a second. Yeah, go ahead. The baby is here.
Fellow radio broadcasting legend Jeff Ruth comments on Charlie's career in 2019.
He's one of the, like Cher. You don't need a last name. You say Charlie. Everybody knows Charlie. Just obviously people going to remember him from, you know, the number of things that he's been involved in and the thousands and thousands of dollars he's raised for good causes.
Charlie chatted with many celebrities on air over the years at WWGH Radio, including Lulu Roman from the hit TV series Hee Haw.
Okay, we're back for our last segment here with Lulu Roman. Lulu Roman from Hee Haw. Whoa, she used to jump up out of the cornfields, remember that? Did you jump up with somebody else?
Yep.
Who was
they
that?
They put up all of us, you know.
Okay.
One time or another, we were with everybody.
Sure, I remember. Yeah. Now I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, boy.
Okay.
And David Newell, better known as Mr. McFeely, the postman from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Boy, I tell you, this is for me has been a great thrill. It always is to see Mr. McFeely, and I can relive my past.
Well, so we're about to ready to sign off?
Anytime you want.
Okay. Well, then, Charlie, you do the honors. This is your show. It's been my honor to be here, and I'm glad you're promoting the Strasburg Railroad,
yes,
too.
Exactly.
That's in Pennsylvania, my home state. So it's been a pleasure being here. I hope I'm back for the parade next year, and we'll do it even bigger and better.
Tour up, yes.
Okay. So you take it away, Charlie.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
Speedy delivery.
Charlie broadcasts live from the streets of his hometown of Bucyrus, Ohio, during the Bratwurst Festival in 2018.
Well, let's see. Right now it's 12:54, and we're here at the Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival. We're on the main drag, you might say. It's not a drag, but it the main street here, and we're kind of like surrounded by concessions. We're straight across the street from the one out of Columbus, the famous one with their Bahama Mamas.
Bahama Mama.
Schmitz, yeah.
Charlie's last broadcast was on April 8th, 2020. Here is the beginning of that program.
And good morning to one and all. I'm back for today. And I might mention, my arm has healed up. I've grown a new layer of skin, which old-timers like me have to be aware of if you fall or do anything, that your skin is the first to go. And so that's all taken care of. And now I'm just tired. I'm wore out. And so I'll be here today. And who knows, I'll show up here every now and then perhaps. Maybe by phone. Oh, gosh. I tell you, it's kind of nice, though, that you live this long, you know, 85 years. There are backdrops or backfalls to all that, because as you get older, you know, you kind of frizzle away. Marge Hazlett, you know, of course, Marge had a cancer, and she was getting treatments so many times a week for her cancer. So she had a reason, or there was a reason within her body that she passed away. But so I feel like I feel like kind of like Marge did a long time ago.
During Charlie's 85th birthday celebration, which was on air on WWGH Radio, station manager Scott Spears spoke of Charlie's importance to WWGH.
But, and I will say, and I think on behalf of everybody at this station, I don't think this station would have ever been around 5 years later if it hadn't been for Charlie, because people like to listen to him, and that's why he's always in the repeats, and we've taped everything he's ever done here, so it'll be on forever and ever.
What a life, what a career, what a broadcaster. There will never be anyone like him again. Charlie summed up his life in this clip from 2019.
You know, curiosity has been my big thing. I once was at a railroad crossing, and I saw what looked like vandals had strung beads of paint all over the place. And so I said, boy, you should see what some vandals did last night. Well, the railroad people called me up and said, there weren't no vandals. We were tracing those silver lines, tracing our underground wires to update their crossing signals. But curiosity, you know.
Curiosity.
You got to have curiosity.
And now one more time for the Angels, the Charlie Evers theme song.
It's time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, and good morning to one and all. Yes, he's on again. Oh, at my age, you just wonder sometimes how long he'll be on.
Charlie Evers is survived by his wife, Jeannie, daughters, Kathy, Amy, and Angie, and many other devoted family members and friends. Charlie Evers was 85 years old.
And we continue on this morning with our tribute to the late Charlie Evers. Hard to say that, the late Charlie Evers. Glenn Coble, Jeff Ruth in studio, and we are going to go to them momentarily. But there is a lady on the phone who you still see every Sunday in the Marion Star, writing her very popular Just Musing column. She had a long relationship with Charlie in the media, and then through her job at Primrose, had Charlie start coming out there. So there's a long relationship here. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones our friend Brenda Donegan. Brenda, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott, and you?
Doing well. Brenda, we still love to see the column every Sunday.
Thank you. I will tell you that Monday, after I had heard about Charlie's passing, that I sat down and wrote my column for next Sunday already, and it's a tribute to Charlie.
Oh, great. Great. So we will all look forward to Sunday's paper. The Just Musing column will be a tribute to Charlie Evers. But give us a little a sneak preview, Brenda. What did you talk about in the column?
Well, I talked basically how Charlie and I met, which was I moved to Prospect in 1976, and my children had been in 4-H in Logan County where we had moved from, and I inquired to see if there were any in the area, and there were two nice big 4-H clubs, but they were mostly agricultural, designated. And so I called the extension office, talked to John Fark, and he said, oh, we're having a meeting, I don't know, I think it was a week or so later, for all of our 4-H advisors to bring them up to date on, you know, what's going to happen this coming year. So I went to the meeting, and lo and behold, I sat beside Charlie. And Charlie introduced himself. Of course, I had already heard him on the radio the few months that I had already lived here. And when that meeting was over, it was like we had been longtime friends. So what I've written about is mostly my personal experiences with Charlie. And as you know, and as many people know, the radio and the newspaper supposedly were competitors. But somebody would call in with something, and Charlie would say, well, I'll check that out. And the next thing I knew, my phone was ringing, and he'd say, Brenda, have you heard about this or that or whatever? And together we'd dig into it, and we both had our sources that seemed to come to us if they had questions or anything curious about what was going on in Marion, and we followed up on them.
You know, Brenda, for somebody who was a listener of his, as you said, what made him a unique radio personality?
Well, it was just like you were sitting there talking to him. Like you've said, he never had a note. I never saw him to have a note. He would have me on several times to promote different things, and it was the same thing then. Just, we would just converse. Very, very common conversation.
Now, you brought him to Primrose when you started working there. How did that all come about, and what were the residents' reaction to Charlie coming out there?
Well, when I went there, they had not had much entertainment or activities or things that interested them, so I compiled a list of things to see what their interests were, and then I looked them over, and Charlie just came to mind when they said they'd like to, you know, hear more about Marion history. And so I called Charlie, and he was happy to come. He came once a month, and we started out with maybe six residents, and then it just grew, and we'd have double circles around the small room that we met in. And shortly after he started coming there, he brought his daughter, Amy, and little Scarlett, who was probably 6-7 months old at the time, and he asked me as he came in, he says, I hope you don't mind, I brought my daughter and granddaughter today. And I said, absolutely not, the residents will love it. And they sat little Scarlett on a blanket in the middle, because we sat in a circle in the middle. And she sat there and looked at her grandpa with such awe the whole time that he was talking, and never moved the whole time, the whole hour that he was there.
You know, Brenda, you've known many and interviewed many of the well-known Marion residents. Where does he fit on that list?
Probably right at the top. great stuff.
And why is that? What was it about him? You know, we talk about Lady Justice, we talk about Buckeye Chuck, we talk about the Peanut Push. All these traditions that we carry on came from Charlie. What do you think it was about the man that allowed that?
Well, I think it was because he was such a common person and always made you feel like he was totally interested in you and you only when you were having conversations. And people listened to him as they were doing chores or getting breakfast ready or kids were getting ready for school. He was very popular. My kids would always say, "What Charlie say the weather is going to be today?" when they come downstairs for breakfast. So I know that people of all ages listen to him, and I just think it's that commonality that he had that brought people in.
Brenda, how are we going to remember him?
Well, I just remember him as a dear friend.
Yeah. I don't think Charlie ever met a stranger.
I don't think so either. Not a bit. But I will tell you that when he came to Primrose, he would start with a topic. And then he would draw people in, and he'd ask so-and-so, one of the residents, he'd say, "Well, you had a farm. What were things like back when you started farming and blah, blah, blah?" And the next thing you know, they chime in, and then the next one would chime in, and the whole room was really interacting back and forth with him with that whole hour. And it was really neat to see that.
Brenda, I wanted to ask you really quickly here, being somebody who has been in the newspaper business for a while, the fact that his passing was marked above the fold, color picture in the Marion Star, big picture and story in the Columbus Dispatch, and then the Associated Press picks up on it yesterday, and people are reading about it in San Francisco and all around the country today. What does that say, news-wise, about the man?
That he was fair and honest and well-respected. And I know that you build your sources, as I did, and, you know, people learn to trust you, and so they feel very comfortable coming to you with tips and et cetera. And that's just how I'll remember Charlie.
Always good to hear from Brenda Donegan, and don't forget, every Sunday, Just Musing appears in the Marion Star, Brenda Donegan's column, and this coming Sunday, a tribute to Charlie Evers. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us for this tribute.
Hey, before we hang up, one thing that Charlie was really interested in, that I was too, was the American Cancer Society. He did the Rides Across Ohio, and he was up at WMRN when we had the cancer stereotherapy up there. And although he was not one of the on-air personalities, he hung around all day. So that's another aspect of his interest, his human interest in people and fundraisers and whatever, because he was there, and then he always went to Relay for Life. So he really had the best interest of people in his heart, always.
I don't think he ever said no to anybody who needed help.
I don't think it was in his vocabulary.
No, I think you're right. Brenda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Brenda Donegan, and that's great to know. This coming Sunday, a tribute to Charlie in Brenda's column. Now we bring back in Jeff Ruth and Glenn Coble, who are here in studio. Jeff, you know Brenda well.
Yeah, Brenda mentioned that when Charlie first came out, there were like 8 people, and then, you know, it was like, you know, they doubled up. I started out with, they had like 8 people, and then when I left, they had like 2. So I had the opposite effect.
You could clear the room. Just like at Primrose, you could clear the room.
Clear the room,
yeah. Glenn Coble joins us. I mean, this is the first time Glenn's been on the air, and Glenn helped engineer Charlie's show for the last 6 months, and also got to know him, I think, mainly over the last 2 years that Glenn's been here at the station. Glenn, you know, we've been sitting in for Charlie for the last month and a half. When you heard the news on Monday, what'd you think?
Brokenhearted. Charlie was, matter of fact, I'm really finding it hard to be here today. Charlie, and I think I was near of his a little longer than 6 months. I think it was closer to a year.
Was it a year?
Yeah. And I loved working with him. I'm I'm just heartbroken.
I like the fact he could never hit the brake.
Oh, yes.
And that's what, you know, and that, I think that was part of his charm.
Okay, tell me that one. I don't know. What do you mean by he couldn't hit the brake?
They know it, like with the Fahey Bank, at, like at quarter after quarter.
He didn't care.
He just, and it's like there's got to be a clock in front of you. And I don't think he ever said, well, maybe once he said, well, we'll be back in just a moment or whatever.
But he complained when that clock quit working. He didn't look at it.
Charlie would come in, and he had a watch. And Charlie would take his watch off, and he would sit it on the desk, which I assume meant he was timing the break. So the end of the I thought that's what it was. But then I would go in the other room and listen, and darn those brakes would come off. It didn't matter.
But again, that was part of the, you know, that was part of the charm, I think.
He'd laugh right through the break.
Well, that was the funny thing about him is that he would get talk. Somebody would call, and he'd start to talk to him during the break, and I wouldn't know he was on the phone. And we'd come back from the break, and there'd be dead air. And I'd come back, and he's on the phone in here. And Charlie, you're on the air. Oh, I gotta go.
Yeah,
and we're back.
Yeah.
You know, that was Charlie.
Yeah.
You know, but I think he was that way throughout his entire career. Tell the famous Tradio story. There's the famous Charlie Tradio story. Is about that, the dog.
We had, and I was, I must have been doing a remote that morning somewhere, and I was coming back. Charlie was filled in for me to do Tradio.
Which I'm sure he loved.
And, I mean, Terry, Charlie, nobody liked doing Tradio. I mean, literally nobody liked doing Tradio, but I enjoyed that. And there was a dog, I think it was on a card, for a Shih Tzu dog that sits and basically was a well-trained dog or whatever.
But it's a Shih Tzu.
Okay.
That's the name.
Right, yes. Shih Tzu dog. Well, didn't quite come out like that. And somebody called in and said, does that dog have papers? And for some reason, Charlie started to laugh.
I can see it.
And then he started to, like, repeat it, and it got worse.
I think you played that, didn't you?
Well, I think we have something like that,
And so he took a break, and it was like 7 minutes of nothing but PSAs. And I just could picture him laughing so hard in the studio that he couldn't stop. But, yeah.
Well, the other Tradio story he liked to tell was when the guy called in and said, I'm looking to sell a hearing aid, and he said, I can't hear you. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah.
You know, and that he had that sense of humor about everything. You know, he just was always in a good mood and always.
There was one time, you mentioned you never heard Charlie.
Heard him yell.
There was one time, I don't know that he yelled so much, but he was perturbed, and he told this story. we had a person that used to work at the station, wasn't there for a real long time, but Charlie had a remote at Bob Evans or Perkins or someplace like from 7:30 to 9:30 in the morning promoting a new breakfast or something. Well, the person was supposed to relieve him. Normally, if you have a remote, you like to get out there a half hour or so ahead of time, set up, make sure everything checks through. Well, he didn't come into the studio till like 25 after 7. And he was irate. So Charlie goes to the remote. He got there. It was too late. So, well, you know, you were supposed to be here at 7:30, and by this time it's 10 to 8 or 5 to 8. We'll just cancel the remote. Of course, and when you do a remote, it pays you money. And he came back to the station. And I don't remember if he yelled, but he was really upset with this particular person. And it's like, you know, not only did you cost me money, it was rude of you to do that. And that was probably the only time I ever heard him really get upset. But rightfully so.
Well, yeah, that's something that could kind of cheese you off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. A few years ago, and we played a little bit of the clip there, Charlie and I decided to cover the Bratwurst Festival because it was the first year that no other radio station was covering it, because it used to be covered quite a bit, the Bratwurst Festival, and Charlie was from Bucyrus, so he liked the idea, and we went over there, and of course radio had become a little... 2018 is when this was done, and we went over on the Friday of the Bratwurst Festival. I believe it was the first day, and here's how rudimentary it was, because radio's changed in a way. It was done with a computer, a soundboard, and two microphones, and it was just Charlie and I there. And we were going to go on the air at 11 o'clock and stay on through 3 o'clock. Now, that's 4 hours of live remote, two people on the streets of Bucyrus. Now, we had the office, and I'm sure mostly due to Charlie being there, the office, the Bratwurst Festival office, said just sit up outside our office with a table, and we did, and it started to pour rain about 10 o'clock that morning. And I thought, oh, how are we going to set up outside? If we're inside, what's the point of that, of doing this remote? We're never going to have any interviews because everybody's outside. So, and I think, well, Charlie is probably turned around and went home because it's pouring rain, awful, nasty rain. So it gets to be about a quarter of 11 when we're about to go on. And I'm thinking, I'm standing under the awning trying to test things out because it's about time to go on the air. And I look across... And Charlie, in 2018, is 83 years old. Here comes, I see a man in an umbrella coming through the parking lot in this horrible, just torrential downpour. Here he came. He was told to be there for a remote, and he was going to be there. And he showed up. The sun came out at 11 o'clock that morning. And it wasn't me. I gave up on interview because I didn't know anything about a dirndl or cheese or anything about the Bratwurst Festival. Charlie sat there for 4 hours in what was pretty good heat and humid heat because of that rainstorm that had happened in front of the Bratwurst Festival office, interviewed the kings, the queens, the sheriff in town, the lady who ran Carly's. He interviewed concessioners. He interviewed, I think they're Paul and Mary or something like that, who were playing the accordion. They played the accordion for Charlie. He knew the song. His granddaughter Scarlett was there. I believe she sang on the air for him during the broadcast. He did 4 hours, 5 hours, 4 or 5, of live radio, sitting in a folding chair at basically a card table with a microphone in his hand. And I thought, boy, at the end of this, he's not going to be very happy that he had to do all this work, because I didn't know anything. And at the end, he put it down, and he had a cream puff on the air, and he had a bratwurst, and he would put it in his mouth on the air and tell you how good it tasted. That's Charlie. And he gets to the end, and he says, this was the best day ever. Because he thrived on that sort of thing. He would have much rather been out in the street interviewing people than in the studio. And he... You know, like I said, and it wasn't false. He brought that up to me in the 2 years that it's been since then about how much he loved that broadcast. I think it was being in his hometown. I think it was the feeling that the Bratwurst Festival had for him. And I think that he sat there, and everybody knew Charlie in Bucyrus. Well, it wasn't just Marion.
Well,
it was great.
When he would do the Marion County Fair, he didn't have to go out at 7:30 in the morning. I mean, back then, I think we did Morning Magazine, but that was the first actual broadcast. And but he would be out there, as I said, till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. He didn't have to be out there, but that's just... He liked talking to people, and that was, you know, he lived for the Crawford County Fair and the Marion County Fair and those kind of things.
Along that same line, let me throw in one thing that I learned about Charlie right from the beginning was I'd come in to engineer his show, and he'd be sitting out front there, and he'd be kind of look down, and I'd say, Charlie, how do you feel? I'm a little weak today. Okay, well, we'll try. We'll get you on, and you'll be better, right? Oh, I'll try. He sat down in that stupid chair you're sitting in right now, Scott.
Right here.
The microphone got close to his mouth, and he was on. He just absolutely shone through that. He just loved being on the air.
Yeah.
Well, and you know something? It's interesting because he... we started doing the fair here, not the first year, so it would have been the second year, so Charlie would have been in his 80s when we did this, and we set up in the Coliseum. The Coliseum has no air conditioning.
Yeah.
It can be very hot, and you do not park close to the Coliseum. You can't. You can't get close to the doors. I asked Charlie, because he's the fair man, I knew nothing about agriculture. You know, he had a lifetime pass to the Marion County Fair because of Evers Arena. And I said, Charlie, would you do your show from the fair? You know, 80, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, 81, 82, 83 years old, he's doing this, the heat and all that. Sure, bam, sure, no problem. He showed up 20 minutes early. He got behind that table, and he just did it. Yeah. He did it, and it was like nothing for him. Again, no notes, and he knew when the person would come up and want to talk about hogs, he knew hogs. When the person wanted to come up and talk about anything, he knew it. That was his thing. He was just very good at improvisation, filling time. If I said, Charlie, I don't have a guest, you know, fill a little time here when you come back. He could go into stories about when the Coliseum was built and how a hockey team used to play there. And there was a hockey player named Gordon Vejprava who all the girls liked in Marion. He knew that stuff. He just was, he was great that way.
You know, he was always interested in even guys like me who were newcomers to Marion. He was interested in telling me all these stories about Marion, and that just blew me away. I loved it.
And I think it's important to mention, and Jeff will speak to this, you know, Charlie was in his 80s, and up until 2 months ago, Charlie had a smartphone, Charlie had an email, Charlie had a Facebook page that he ran. You know, it wasn't his daughters running this for him. Mm-hmm. Charlie ran it. And that's how I would communicate with Charlie. We didn't call each other on the phone. We would email each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something, isn't it, Jeff, for an 80-something-year-old?
Have you seen Jeff's phone?
Yeah. And, well, you had said something a week or so ago. You had sent me a message, and I saw you, and it's like, didn't you get the message? And it was like, no. And so I ended up calling Brian in Columbus, and I said, did I get something on Facebook? And so he, sure enough, he said, yeah, you did. But, you know, I don't check Facebook and things like that like I should.
Charlie did.
I know.
Right. But he had that, you said, when computers came in. He was interested in those.
Oh, yeah. I remember, like, first time he ever saw or actually used a computer years and years ago. And he just went on about how fascinating it was. And, you know, you can go, you know, any subject you can find out about it, and he found this computer.
He was a tech guy.
He knew that stuff. He was a
ham operator. Yeah. He knew how to do that.
Well, same like the equipment at the radio station. Like, you know, Joe Peters was our chief engineer, but Charlie was like, you know,
backup guy. 1B,
and yeah. So Charlie knew. I mean, he knew, you know, how to keep the equipment running and that sort of thing.
You know, it's interesting. When he was an engineer for so long, I believe the first 12 or something years he was at the radio station, he says he never spoke a word. He was a strict engineer. But it's funny because those were the only conversations I really ever had with Charlie that were serious. They were not yelling or anything like that. But if something did not sound right, he knew it. And he'd bring it up to me the next time I saw him. He'd say, you know, the quality was a little rough on that, because he was an engineer, and I think he came from that, you know, that it had to be perfect. Yeah. He used to like to use it. He said he used to have to sweat blood to get that program on the air. And this is the 60s, when think of what the equipment must have been like in the 60s.
Well, I remember, like, he and
it
Joe...
It wasn't that bad. Come on.
Like, he and Joe would go, because we used to, for years, we always carried the Messiah, whether it was at Epworth Church, which I think was for years, and then it had gone to a couple different... But, you know, they would go over, like, on Tuesday and start setting up. And, you know, they'd be climbing these huge ladders to hang the microphones and so forth. And, you know, that was stuff behind us. Nobody really knew that. For an hour program on a Sunday night, the hours and hours of preparation it took to put something like this on the air and to make it sound good. But that's what they wanted to do.
And he was able to do that. But his something that doesn't get talked about a lot, and we've talked about a lot of things. Of course, Buckeye Chuck will go on. Of course, the Peanut Push will go on. Of course, Lady Justice, if you, well, we hope the Peanut Push will go on. Well, Lady Justice, if you leave this building, you can see her high atop Marion. It wouldn't be there without Charlie Evers, and that's the truth. The Bikes Across America, we'll all remember, or Bikes Across Ohio, we'll all remember that. But the truth of the matter is, something else that he did, I believe he signed the document and named Heritage Hall, the Historical Society. I believe he was a part of that. I believe he talked about that one time, that somebody came to him and said, we got the old post office down here. Marion did not have a historical society at that point. So he was a part of the start of that. And that's something that will go on forever. So he was so involved in almost every facet. It wasn't just the civic groups. He started so many things that people wanted to continue on with. But he also had the silliness, you know, going, somebody put an outhouse on the station lawn at one point and being rolled down the street in a bathtub. You know, he had that folksy side. It was a big part of him.
The Kuqua Ditch with John Steele and Steve Stewart. And you know, if you talk to John or Steve tomorrow, again, that's one of their favorite stories was, you know, Charlie, of course, he canoed, and so and he knew a little bit about what he was doing. John and Steve had no idea what they were doing. They eventually tipped, and, you know, Charlie made it down to Waldo in one piece, and John and Steve didn't.
And we've still got another hour this morning of this Charlie Evers tribute. We're going to be joined via telephone at the start of the next hour by David Newell, Mr. McFeely. Now, David was here three times on Charlie's show, twice in 2015, once in 2016. So we're going to talk to David, and Jeff Ruth and Glenn Coble are going to stick around here. We'll share some more memories of Charlie. Maybe we'll open up the phone lines next hour if somebody wants to say something. But remembering a broadcasting legend here in Marion, Charlie Evers, who passed away Sunday night at the age of 85, but who will be around forever. Don't forget, Just Musing this Sunday in the Marion Star, devoted to Charlie Evers. Also, starting at 1 o'clock on Friday and through 8 o'clock on Monday morning, Nothing But Charlie on this station, the Best of Charlie Evers. And there will also be a two-hour broadcast of the Best of Charlie Evers put together by Adam Lepp, which will air tomorrow between 4 and 6 p.m. on this station. A highlight reel of his best moments here over the last 6 years. We'll be back with more right after this break.
High overhead. We here at WWGH